Good morning. My name is Leslie Kelly. I will be your conference operator for today. Participation in this conference call is strictly limited to invited participants. This call is exclusively for financial analysts and investors. If you are not an invited guest, please disconnect at this time. I would like to welcome you to the conference call on 2022 General Economic Policy Preliminary Guidelines. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a questions and answers session. If you would like to make a question during this time, please press star 8 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star 8 again. I will now introduce you to the speakers. Iván Cajeme Villarreal Camero, Chief Economist of the Ministry of Finance and Public Credit, and Roberto Lasseri Montaño, General Director of Public Debt of the Ministry of Finance and Public Credit, to proceed with their remarks. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you're all doing well. Thank you for attending this conference on the preliminary guidelines for 2022. I'm going to start talking a little bit about how we are seeing things and then what we are expecting for public finances in 2021 and economic activity in public finances in 2022. The economy is evolving as broadly in line with what we estimated back in September last year when we presented the economic package for this year. The recovery has been heterogeneous, as we anticipated, across countries and across sectors as well. It depends, as everybody knows, of course, on the ability to reopen, for activities to reopen or to stay open. More recently, across countries, it is depending and is going to depend over the next months, probably years, on the ability of getting vaccines. What we saw at the end of the last year was economic figures broadly in line with what we anticipated. The contraction was of 8.2%. We had estimated a contraction of 8% last year. And public finances were actually better than we expected. The tax revenues in particular increased close to 107 billion pesos compared to what we had estimated when we presented the economic package, and also the public sector borrowing requirements, which is our broadest measure of deficit, as you know, went down from our estimate of 4.7% of GDP to 3.9% of GDP. And debt also decreased compared to what we expected. We anticipated net debt, the historical balance of the PSBRs, of 54.7% of GDP, and it ended up being 52.3%. In this year and this month, economy is evolving heterogeneously. As I was mentioning, we are seeing a faster recovery in those sectors that are less contact intensive. So, for example, by the fourth quarter of 2020, the GDP of primary activities increased actually compared to the level previous year, 2019, 4.9%. Whereas secondary activities reach almost 97% of their level of 1 year before, and tertiary activities, which are more dependent on contact, reach close to 95% of their previous level, which is an adjusted figures. Within activities, we see also this pattern in general. So for example, by January 2021, the service sector was at 95.6% of its level of February last year. But within the sector, you could see striking differences, whereas wholesale retail, for example, was at 106% of February last year. Retail was at close to 97%. Financial and real estate services were at 98%. And entertainment was much lower at 82%, and lodging and restaurants and other sectors that are really very dependent on contact were at close to 60% of their level of February. even within manufacturing, you also see differences similar to this one. In January, for example, this year, the capacity used by manufacturing was in general 1.2 percentage points below its level of pre-pandemic, previous to the pandemic in February 2020. But in some sectors that are very dependent on other activities on the ability of people to, you know, to be outside, the capacity was much lower than their pre-pandemic levels. So, for example, those for clothing and leather and printing, for example, was printing was 10 percentage points below its level of February. Clothing was 14. The usage of capacity was 14 percentage points below its level, and leather was 8.2 percentage points below its February 2020 level. We also see these differences in employment figures. Out of the 2.7 million jobs that were still to recover, the ones that left the labor force with the suspension of activities and haven't returned yet, out of those 2.7 million, 76% came from the tertiary sector, and 70% were women, who, as you know, are overrepresented in those sectors which were particularly hit by the COVID pandemic, and who are also overrepresented in the activity of taking care of the people who are at home, so like children who haven't returned to school, or like the elderly, for example. And if you look across states here in Mexico, you'll see also differences driven by this heterogeneous recovery. The states that have the most recovery in employment yet are those that are highly dependent on tourism services, for example, or just services in general, like Baja California Sur, Mexico City, Guerrero, and Quintana Roo. Given these two developments, that more recent, that happened after we presented our figures for 2021 in September, allow us to update our estimate for the economic growth this year from 4.6% to 5.3%. One of them, the first one and most important, is the vaccination program, of course. We started preparing for this since second half of last year, as you know very well. We started making arrangements with different pharmaceuticals and the COVAX initiative, with Pfizer, with AstraZeneca, with CanSino. And we had, by the end of last year, already pre-arrangements for 198, close to 200 million doses arranged. Given the delays that we have seen all over the world in production and in distribution, this year we have made additional arrangements with other pharmaceuticals to get to have more vaccines here ready to be applied. So, for example, Sinovac, Sinopharm, Gamaleya, and Johnson and Johnson with Janssen vaccine. So now we have prearranged close to 280 million doses to be applied over the next month. There will be enough to vaccinate around twice the people, the population of 16, 20 years and above, which are the ones that so far where the vaccines have been tested. So that's an important development that is behind the update in our estimate. The second important update is, of course, what we have seen in the United States. The very important stimulus that was just recently approved on March 10th for $1.9 trillion, which is going to reflect in their growth, in the economic growth, and also in growth in their industrial production, which, as you know, was very correlated with industrial production here in Mexico. The sectors here that are less dependent on contacts, such as manufacturing, as I was mentioning earlier, are going to be benefited by that, and that's helping us. Their very fast vaccination program, which is already in place, is also going to help their economy, and that's all we expect going to reflect in our own economy. That's what we are estimating so far in terms of economic activity. Other important variables that we are updating are the price of oil. We are increasing it from $42.1 per barrel that we used in our estimates for this economic package to $55. It takes into account several things that we are observing. First of all, the increased demand, the increase in economic projections for the global economy, the acceleration in fuel demand by China, of course, and the stability and the compliance that we have seen within OPEC Plus agreements. We're also taking into account that it is a very volatile sector. So even though in the last few weeks we have seen a price that is well above that level, we cannot discard the entry online of additional production over the next month, incentivized by the higher price, or, for example, new disagreements within OPEC Plus. Tomorrow there is an important meeting that we are all going to be paying attention to. So given that we are using this price, of course, it might be higher, and if that happens, it'll be good news for revenues. We are also updating the production of oil downwards from the 1.857 thousand barrels per day that we had used to 1.794. This is the result, as you know very well, Pemex and many other oil companies here in Mexico and in the world had to adjust their plans, their investment plans last year because of the lower price environment. There was a lower price environment expected throughout this year, actually. It has improved, fortunately. But given that reduction in investment last year, it's going to reflect on the production for the first month, the first half of this year, and we're taking that into account. We are updating the exchange rate also from 20-1, the average for the whole year, from 20-1 pesos per dollar to 20.4 pesos per dollar. Similar updates, of course, the inflation. We're seeing now some pressures on inflation. Most of them we expect them to be temporary, but still we think it's going to close at 3.8% within the central bank's range of 2-4%. And so saying some pressures we've seen, such as energy prices, fuel prices, some non-food items are going to be transitory. The interest rate, we think on average, is going to be 4% during this year. We're taking into account that expectations for inflation are well anchored and that there are opportunities there for additional policy measures. There could be for additional policy measures. So all of that together with what was mentioned at the beginning, the higher than expected tax revenues at the end of last year, take us to this updating on public finances. On tax revenues, we are increasing the estimate for this year to in 68.7 billion pesos. This is in line with what I was mentioning, the economic recovery and the bigger tax base. And it also is taken into account that there's going to be a higher stimuli on the excise tax on fuels, given the higher price of oil and of fuels that we are seeing. We actually started a few weeks ago implementing the stimulus, as you know, for the regular gasoline and premium and diesel. It's going to change throughout the year, but just in general we expect a cost that we didn't expect before. So this figure reflects that. We are also revising upward our estimate for all revenues in 91.8 billion pesos, which comes from the higher oil prices that we are seeing. But it is also taking into account, if you check, this is very important, the distribution that you are seeing is taking into account the support that we are giving Pemex this year. We are providing Pemex with a total support this year of up to 170 billion pesos. We had already announced before a fiscal relief, a tax relief of 73.3 billion pesos, which was applied on February 19th. It is going to be applied throughout the year. It started then, and it's going to benefit Pemex. It's going to help them free up resources for investment in exploration and production. So it is an investment also for us. The second part is a capitalization similar to the one we did in September 2019 of 96.7 billion pesos. As you know, we yesterday and even before Pemex had already made public that we had given them a transfer of 32.1 billion pesos, which is the purpose of which is to help them with amortizations due this year. So the whole 96.7 is going to be for that purpose, help them with amortizations due this year. And because of that, we don't expect them to affect our fiscal goals for the year. So what you see, the numbers you see there already take into account this transfer from us to Pemex, and they also take into account on Pemex and importantly, lower sales of fuels than the ones that we anticipated. We are seeing a slower recovery in mobility than the one we had estimated back in September, August, September. We are taking that into account. This might be even more permanent than anybody expected. As you know, the pandemic is accelerating some changes that were already taking place, but they were lagging behind here in Mexico than in other countries in terms of home office or in terms of staying more at home for entertainment purposes or for eating purposes, for example. People are not going as much out. We think that's going to remain for some months, years, and probably accelerate the change that we were already seeing slowly over the past few years. So that's taken into account in the estimates. In total, we are expecting additional budgetary revenues of 174.3 billion pesos, or an increase of 3.1% real compared to 2020. And because of that, we are also estimated an increase this year in programmable expenditure of 173.4 million pesos, which was higher than the what we, you know, above what we expected in the package. These resources are going to be used just as their additional are going to be used as the federal responsibility law states. We're also estimating an increase in non-programmable expenditures of close to 1 billion pesos. I apologize in advance for the noises in the background. You're going to hear, we're at Palacio Nacional, so you're probably those of you who have been here know that there are all types of noises going on in the street. I was mentioning an increase in non-programmable expenditures of close to 1 billion pesos, but it's more of a reallocation within non-programmable. There's going to be an increase in participaciones of 18.9 billion pesos and a decrease in financial cost of 5.9 billion pesos and a decrease also in debt from previous fiscal exercises. All these figures lead us to PSVRs of 3.3% in this year, which is a reduction compared to the ones we saw at the end of 2020, 3.9% I was mentioning. And we also expect the historical balance of PSVR to go down to 51.4% of GDP compared to the 52.3% that we observed in 2020. Moving on to 22, what is it that we are seeing? There's going to be the most important one, as I was mentioning, is going to be the continuation and conclusion of the vaccination program. We expect elderly people are going to be fully inoculated this year. Then the rest of the population are going to be fully vaccinated between this year and the next year, and that can allow for a broader reopening of activities, the normalization of school activities, which are going to free up particularly women who are staying at home to take care of children. We're also taking into account maybe more flexible work schemes. Economy seems to be moving gradually, more accelerated, in a more accelerated fashion now with COVID pandemic towards that, and that's all increasing. That's increasing our estimates for next year. We're also taking into account the stimulus in the United States, which are going to help our economy through commerce to trade, This is being boosted also by the entry into force last year of the USMCA, of course. So all of those together, allows us to increase our estimation for next year from the 2.6% that we presented in our medium-term estimations in the guidelines for 2021 to 3.6% now in the preliminary guidelines for next year. We are, all the things that we are taking into account are the increase, the U.S. economy is going to keep increasing, maybe at a more moderate rate than the one that we are estimating for this year, and it, as well as industrial production, but still a pretty robust rate for the average for the U.S. economy. Other important variables are the price for oil. We are anticipating that it's maybe going to go down to $53.1 per barrel next year, because just the normalization of conditions in the sector are probably going to, as I was mentioning, bring up more production into the world coming from the U.S. primarily and also OPEC Plus. So that's probably going to decrease the price a little bit. In terms of production, we expect it to increase. Give me a minute. We expect production to increase to 1.867 million barrels per day, up from the 1.794 million barrels per day that I was mentioning. It comes in percentage terms, actually, most of the increase in percentage terms is from private companies. They also delayed some of their plans for this year, but we expect them to normalize over the next few months, and that'll help production. For Pemex, we are anticipating an increase, percentage increase more moderate of around 3.5% in production. What they have been doing of stopping the decline has been a very remarkable feat. It used to decrease every year between 2004 and 2018, 10% every year. That stopped during 2019, and this year, more or less, the production has been hovering around 1.7 million barrels. So we expect it to gradually increase as their investment plans move forward. For inflation, we expected, as you know very well, in their latest decision, the central bank, Banxico, mentioned that they were expected by 2022, by mid-2022, an inflation on target, 3%. So that's what we are using. And we are using an exchange rate of 20.3 pesos per dollar for next year. And interest rate on average of 4%, although we are taking into account that maybe by the end of the year it might increase a little bit. So all of those variables taken together lead us to the following figures for public finances. In terms of tax revenues, for example, which are most important, very important, we're expecting an increase of 7.1% versus what was approved for this figure. 7.1% in real terms versus what was approved for this year, sorry. It is taking into account that we are updating our figure for this year as well because of the higher revenues that we saw at the end of 2020. Just in total, we expect budgetary revenues to increase 5.6% versus the amount approved for this year, and it comes partially also the increase from an increase in oil revenues of 9.8% in real terms for next year because of the higher production that I was mentioning here. All of this led us to an increase in programmable expenditure of 3% in real term, where important important reason of this increase is the decline that we are anticipating in deficit. We are, as you know very well, committed to fiscal responsibility. We have showed that in the past years, and that's going to continue during the rest of the administration. So as we mentioned last year, we want to place the debt on a sustainable downward trajectory, and we are estimating so far that next year debt is going to decrease 0.3% in terms of GDP from 51.4 to 51.1. So to do that, we are reducing our estimates for deficit from the 3.3% of GDP that we're estimating for this year to 2.9% of GDP next year, preliminary. So because of that, and since budgetary revenues are increasing 5.6%, as I was mentioning, which means 321.2 billion pesos, and since non-programmable expenditure is increasing 96.9 billion pesos according to our estimates, then programmable expenditure is increasing, as I was mentioning, 3% in real terms versus what was approved for this year, or in terms of in pesos, is 140.4 billion pesos. This is going to help, this additional program expenditure is going to help address the additional needs for next year. Some of them have already been mentioned by President López Obrador, as you know very well, and some others might take place. That's going to happen until the economic package, of course, but we are analyzing already what needs to be addressed over the next months and years. The increase in non-programmable expenditure is of 5.6%. The 96.9 billion pesos that I was mentioning is 5.6% in real terms versus the approved for this year. And it mainly comes from an increase in financial cost of 2% in real terms, and participaciones for the state of 7.9%. So I'm going to stop here and leave room for some questions. Remark our commitment this year and next year with our fiscal goals and fiscal responsibility, and we'll be monitoring figures, macroeconomic devolution of macroeconomic variables to make sure that they are fulfilled. Thank you very much.